seed storage. I had just asked a question going to, because it seems like I always end up buying a new package of seeds every year, which isn't a big expense. I think a package of seeds is a buck or two.
Right. All right. You know, as long as you keep it relatively cool, dry, I would store, you know, the refrigerator crisper is a great place to keep it.
Okay.
Put it in a paper bag or put it in something and label it. As far as it lasting, you know, the vitality goes down a little bit. The germination percentage goes down a little bit. We are not allowed to. There's an expiration date on every pack of seeds you buy. Sometimes that seed's pulled off the shelf, sent back to wherever it was purchased. They retest it. If it comes up still a 98% germination rate, they'll repackage it and ship it back out again. We just throw ours away, or are donated to the garden clubs and to schools and to, you know, that type of stuff. But yeah, your seed will last a couple years.
Now, you specifically said a paper bag. You wouldn't want to put that in a Ziploc?
You know, you got to be real careful with it.
Does it have to breathe?
It has to breathe.
It does.
And you get moisture, condensation in there, and then you'll get mold, and the seed will actual mold if it gets wet.
All right. And it was Lake Valley.
That's who we buy from, Lake Valley Seed Company, yep.
Out of Colorado. The seed will still obviously germinate in Arizona.
Oh,
too cold up there.
Absolutely. It's not seed specific to certain areas, no. No.
Because there are a lot, and heirloom has become quite popular. It seems like the majority of what I see now in nursery stores all have that heirloom stamp on it. What does that mean?
Well, that means prior to World War II, so somewhere early 40s, that seed has not been messed with. It's been open air pollinated. It has not been crossbred. It's about as pure a seed form as the original plant. So that's basically about it. It's just been open air pollinated. It's never been cross pollinated with other varieties, and it's been that way since the early 40s.
And with all these companies now selling heirloom seeds, did they just go steal it from the other guy and germinate it off the plant?
Yeah, absolutely. You bet.
There's probably not a big difference from one heirloom.
No,
there are
seed banks out there, believe it or not. There are people that are.
There's a big one in Tucson.
Yeah,
I've not been to, but
native
I've read
seeds.
A lot about.
Yes, you know, there are people out there. You know, got our back, kind of to say. You know, they're collecting and the keeper of many varieties of ancient old seeds, and that's their job.
Interesting.
And we're thankful that we have them.
Yeah. We've got a couple text questions. Back on the pre-emergent. It's a topic that's not dying.
Pre-emergent and super cooling.
Yeah. We've mentioned it for primarily lawn. This texture was still, can I put that on a gravel?
It works great gravel. And it comes in different forms. It comes in a liquid. It comes in a granule, usually for the, you know, if you don't have a sprayer, and especially if you're putting it out in the desert and out in your gravel yard, and that's, you know, several hundred feet away from the hose bib, the granular works really good. It's also, you know, kind of hard to water it in. That's why we always sell out during the rainstorms. That's one of two things that always triggers it.
The nature's doing the work for you.
Yep.
Carol just moved here from Indiana, and they brought black raspberry plants. Still in 5-gallon buckets, so they obviously were very attached to these plants.
Right.
Is that something she's going to be able to replant locally?
Yeah, you know, blackberries, boysenberries will grow here. And we carry them in the nursery. They're not going to – I mean, you've got to kind of find a good spot for them. Lots of sun, maybe some afternoon shade, but, yeah, berries will grow here. Now they're not going to grow – the way they grew for her back in Indiana or northern Arizona or places like that, but they will produce here.
Anything particular, a shaded area she needs to look for, any watering?
Lots of water, particularly through the summertime. They will go dormant, you know, in the wintertime, so we don't really have to water them at all in the wintertime. They would probably prefer some late afternoon shade. You know, the berries kind of come in to ripen in the summertime, so some cooling would be beneficial for them.
hey, well, during the break, we had a call from Roger. You guys have been talking about pre-emergent. He said he lives in Williams, 8 miles east of Williams. He doesn't need pre-emergent. And today he's out on his Bobcat, scooping out that snow out of a 175-foot driveway. He just wanted to rub it in. That's all. He knows Rosie loves the weather reports.
Yes.
So he's enjoying the snow.
I don't know if that's rubbing it in. He's out there shoveling snow.
Yeah. Well, he's on his Bobcat.
Is that rubbing it in?
You know.
He said any excuse to get on the Bobcat.
Yeah. Any excuse to get on the Bobcat. Yeah, well, it's you know, there's something just so peaceful and quiet about falling snow. Yeah. I like it.
Huh.
I like it a lot.
Only in Arizona or very few places in America could you have somebody putting in lettuce seeds,
right?
And 100 miles away, somebody's shoveling 8 inches of snow out.
Yeah, and I'm sure there's someone swimming in their swimming pool today too in Phoenix, Arizona. So yeah.
My son-in-law sent a video this week. They're in Minneapolis.
Oh
now,
boy,
that isn't any kind of snow I would like. And he's standing at the top of his driveway, which is a little bit of a sloped structure, and just standing there, he slides all the way down to the street.
Oof.
I don't know how he gets the car up the driveway when it's like that.
I think they're called studded snow tires.
Listen, you do need to carry a message to your dad.
Okay. He's listening, so you're going to tell him.
Well, Big John, I forgive you. It took me 50 years to work up to this, but I do forgive your dad. I remember moving here in 1965. And we kind of settled out around Mockingbird and Doubletree.
Okay.
You know, on an acre of desert ground.
Right. And it's a good place to buy an acre of desert ground.
Yeah. Jumped in the car with Dr. Rosie, headed down to Harper's Nursery.
Down on Thomas Road, 17th Street.
Yeah. Yeah, Dad walks in and Big John's there. They don't know each other. And Dad says, what do you do about weeds in Arizona? You know, in Louisiana, we just burn them.
Right.
you just burn them, man. And John says, how many kids you got? And Dad says, well, I got 8. He says, I got just the thing for you. Goes back in the back of the store and comes out with 8 hula hoes. Now, Big John could have sold my dad pre-emergent.
It was around that.
He could have sold him pre-emergent. I got 8 hula hoes.
I'm sure there's a...
Do you know how big an acre looks like?
Oh, yeah.
When you're in one corner standing there with a hula hoe?
And endless and just like going, I'm never gonna get to the other side.
It looks like 10 acres.
Well, there's 8 kids. So there's 43,560.
Yeah, but I don't ever remember. I don't ever remember 10, my so. Siblings elbow and elbow with me on those. I think I wore out all 8 by myself. I don't remember any of them out there.
That's good stuff.
So let your dad know.
I will.
It's taken me 50 years, but I've forgiven him.
Wow, 50 years.
50 years.
People in Louisiana catch on quick, don't they?
1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. If you have a question for Mr. Jeff Harper, the propagator and plant grafter of Harper's Nursery. We've talked a lot about pre-emergent, but if somebody has a winter lawn with rye, can you fertilize and pre-emergent at the same time?
Sure.
Because we can still get, we probably have with the weather right now.
Mm-hmm.
2 more, if not 3 more fertilizing sessions for our rye if we're trying to get it healthy and strong through about May.
Oh, yeah. You can put down both those products at the same time without any thought. And you should be, you know, if people out there got really yellow, anemic-looking winter lawns, this cold, wet soil conditions that we've had, like I said, I honestly believe I've had my sprinklers turned off since mid-December.
Yeah.
But I'm probably the only one on my block that has done that. You know, everybody else is, watering 3 or 4 times a week, and the Bermuda grass is yellow because it's too much water and the soil's cold and wet. So fertilizing is probably something that should be done at least 2 more times.
Okay. Now, you don't mix those together.
You can't, no. You don't
spread
mix them
your pre-emergent,
together.
Then refill your fertilizer and
right.
spread that separately.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. You wouldn't get it on even enough if you, unless you had a way of mixing those two products together, but they're different densities, so it wouldn't work.
Now, high yield dimension is our pre-emergent. What are we applying for our fertilizer?
I love a product called Turf Royale. That's what the golf course professionals recommend and what they use. It's a 21-7-14. Those three numbers in that order represent nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium. But that 21% nitrogen is broken down into two different forms of nitrogen. There's both an ammonical nitrogen, and then there's a nitrate-type nitrogen. So the nitrate is going to release really fast. It's going to work really well when the temperatures are cool. A lot of our summer lawn foods contain a form of nitrogen, the form of urea, which doesn't release and work very well when the weather's cool. It likes the heat, and it needs the heat to have that breakdown, if you want to say, for that form of nitrogen to work. So that's the best stuff, and it works really good.
Now, I know where John Eisenhower stands on sisu trees.
Uh-huh.
I know where John Harper stands on sisu trees. Where does Jeff Harper stand on sisu trees?
I am tending to lean a little bit towards Eisenhower. We've got him planted on the property. Had him planted at homes before and have never, ever, ever had a problem, but they've always been in a desert lawn. They've always been surrounded by gravel. I've never seen the amount
desert
of,
lawn. I like that.
Yeah, I've never seen the amount of the suckers that arise. Now, people that have them in lawns are always fighting that. And what I've learned, I think, from John was that when that tree gets cut down, it sends some kind of message.
Very aggressive.
Yeah, and all of a sudden, the tree wants to survive. It's got a great will to live, and it sends up suckers and from the roots. And I've known people that have spent years, trying to pull those up. So I guess it depends on where you're planting the tree.
Okay, if it's in a desert landscape, you seem to not see nearly the problem.
I have not seen the problem there.
So William wants to know, has sisu.
Uh-huh.
He was thinking about cutting them out. He's heard the people that have called in and have nightmares, so he's decided, I'm not going to cut it out. We're going to decide we love our sisu
tree.
Yeah,
I love it.
When's a proper time to trim it?
Oh, I would probably, a good spring and summertime would be the best time to do a trim job on it. They're not growing right now. They're evergreen, but they're still dormant. So you can start pruning your trees, February, March, and you can prune them all summer long if you know what you're doing.
Okay. 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you.